Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, selected verses from the gospel lesson. The disciples came, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." This is the text. There is a rebuke and there is a warning at the beginning of the text, isn't there? And the reason why is it comes out of, the preaching comes out of responding to the disciples arguing again about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And this time, they want Jesus to referee and answer. Yeah, the disciples who, one time as they were going along the road, they were arguing about it, and when they got to where they were going, Jesus asked, "What were you arguing about on the road?" And they wouldn't answer because they were ashamed that time. Two of them put their mother up to it, asking Jesus, "Give me a favor." "Well, tell me what the favor." "No, give me a favor. Promise. What do you want?" "Grant that when you come into your kingdom, one of my sons will sit on your right and the other on your left." Yeah, those disciples. Jesus had to rebuke and tell them, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean? Spelling it out. Humbleness. Taking the lower place. Caring for and serving others. As Paul says, have this attitude, the attitude of Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. Now, the Greek word actually means emptied, kenosis. Emptied himself. Took on the form of a servant. Why? Why that way? Why come to us in that way? And with all that the Bible tells us about Jesus, that is still the mystery of the ages. The why. But it is actually that. That is the thing that sets the pattern for the kingdom of God. The attitude of Christ sets the pattern for the resurrection and the new heaven and the new earth, where we will enjoy all of humanity risen and sharing in the glory of Jesus, sharing in that attitude. So we come to verse 10. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And the interpretation of that is that those angels who watch over the littlest, the tiniest, the most helpless, always have access to the throne of the Heavenly Father. Angels caring for the least and the littlest. Where did the angels learn this attitude? At this point, you should know the answer. Where else than from Jesus? from Jesus, who took the child and told the disciples to humble themselves like a little child, from Jesus, who on Maundy Thursday got up from the table and knelt down to wash the feet of the disciples, Jesus, who said, "Who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus, who knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane to humble himself, not only before his Father, but to humble himself, taking the lower place for us, to serve us. And then Jesus, who comes among us Sunday after Sunday in bread and wine and says, "Take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood." He humbles himself before us this day. That is one of the astounding parts of Christianity. So it is the reaction, of course, the reaction of some to say, that's not any way for the body and blood of Jesus to be treated. But that is how he has decided to use his body and blood, first to win our salvation on the cross, and then to give us salvation on our tongues, in our mouths, to eat and to drink and to have the promises of God connected with that meal. And if that is how he has decided to use his body and blood, well, yes. I will receive him. And I will receive him with astonishment. What did he say to the disciples? Whoever humbles himself like this child, I'm thinking right now of Christmas Eve and the times we celebrate how Jesus humbled himself like a little child. In fact, humbled himself to be a little child. The rabbis of Jesus' day, they had little use for the littlest. They became interested in the children when the children were ready to be instructed by the rabbis in the things of the faith in their early teens. And in the instruction, you have a child who struggles along trying to learn and one who is very bright. And of course, the rabbis get all excited about the bright child, like Jesus at 12 years old in the temple, asking questions, giving answers. The rabbis of Jesus' day did not have much use for the little, the foolish, the weak, the helpless. It's not so different in our day, is it? There are the despised, the lowly, the poor, the helpless, the little. Disregard for the little ones. Hate to say it, is part of the basic worldview of so many movements that have come along in human history. And of course, you remember the account of parents bringing little children to Jesus so he could bless them. And the disciples, offended and bothered, and why do you bother the teacher, and trying to send them away. And Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." How's that finish? For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. It's a fascinating thing when you zero in on it, this interest by God in the littlest and the humblest and the tiny things. It speaks to his attention and grace and mercy and love, attentiveness to us, so that King David could say, before there's a word on my tongue, you know it all together. And how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. So, from who else than Jesus could the angels learn this attitude? These are things that angels marvel at, having been created in the first 6 days with glory and honor, getting to watch the plan of creation and the setting up of the plan of salvation and watch it unfold. They stand in amazement at how Jesus welcomes the weak, the lowly, the sinners. Peter says in one of his letters, these are things that angels long to look into. We celebrate Jesus becoming one of the little and lowly and helpless. Three and a half months from now, we'll be on the verge of Christmas. Celebrating how the second person of the Trinity was there lying in a feed trough among the animals with the smells and the noises of animals. So Paul has to ask. He has to ask the Philippians to have this mind in themselves, which was also in Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being found in human likeness. He humbled himself, became obedient. How far was the obedience? All the way to the cross. Therefore, God has raised him to the highest place. God has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The whole world is being drawn to and pulled to the cross, willingly or unwillingly being pulled to the cross. The whole of creation is being rebuilt around the cross, with Jesus being the foundation. So who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I love to take the confirmation kids through this series of questions and answers. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's the one who serves. And then asking it a very different way. In a kingdom where everyone is king, that is a fair description of the kingdom of God, a kingdom where everyone is king. So in a kingdom where everyone is king, who is the one who rules? The answer, the one who serves. Because he is the one that everyone turns to in their time of need. That's what happens today. The one everyone turns to in their time of need, the one who gives every blessing. Something that comes to mind for me especially a week ago, in between services, after I announced at this service that one of my brothers passed away, I sent a text. It's a text to my older brother about 40 years ago. No, I'm sorry, about 50 years ago. I've gotten older. About 50 years ago, it was Christmas morning, and our family got the news that our grandfather had passed. Christmas morning. And as we're grieving, my older brother says, "I'm going to church." Okay, I went with him. I sent him a text to remind him and to thank him. I'm going to read what I sent to him. "Thank you because on Christmas morning when Grandpa died, you said, 'I'm going to church.' I learned on that day that here in God's house, around God's altar, is the only place where anything makes any sense at all when stuff like this happens. I share that with you because, well, just yesterday, walking into church, getting ready for the Saturday evening service, after spending the week in confusion, very much at sea, almost every announcement on the calendar in the front of the insert is wrong. That's been my week. And I walk in. This is the only place. It is the only place because it is the chance to be with the one who humbled himself like this child. The one who humbled himself for me. So he is the one that I can turn to in every time of need. And he is the one who gives every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.